come and take me to the river and make me whole. It's down with the old and up with the new. The heart reset my life, take two. Oh Lord have mercy on this weary soul.
Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
Alrighty then, it's that time again. Go Yard, and we are right here live in the studio, as we almost always are, Dr. Angel and me. Dr. Angel Falzone, PhD, licensed mental health counselor. Exciting days we've been living lately, hasn't
yes,
it?
Yes,
so much going on, and we always look forward to doing this show. And since we're live, 727-441-3000, we usually are live. If you want to call in and comment during this show, we're in our series on boundaries. You know, we've had so many different series in almost 5 years of being on the air, and this topic, boundaries, people mentioned to me a lot that they have appreciated us discussing this concept a lot during these 5 years in the show. Why is that? Why is that so important? Why is this topic important?
Well, this is a foundational topic to a lot of the stress and difficulty in relationships that we have is because of our boundaries or lack of boundaries or having too rigid of boundaries. But boundaries is one of those core issues that when we can really get this down, we save ourselves a lot of trouble.
A lot of pain, right?
Yes.
And so for those that are out there that go, I don't know what you're talking about boundaries, because not everybody understands that concept, Dr. Angel. So let's be very basic as we begin part three. That's what this night is, part three of this series. If you have missed any of these, you can go to tantalknetwork.com right here at the radio station, and there will be, go to the podcast tab, and there will be a page that opens up, and you will be able to hit an internet link, hit that, and then our page will open up if you go down to Go Yard. So, you know, you can listen to the ones you've missed. So, tell us why this is so important.
So a boundary, you know, is a defined line of limiting something. It's dividing line. It lets us know what's acceptable and not acceptable. Specifically, how it relates to behavior is what we're really looking for here.
Right, how it relates to behavior. Okay, so
In
other words, it sets up boundaries. We set up do this, but you can't do that. Or if you do this, this is what's going to happen. Consequences to behavior. A lot
correct.
Of times.
Correct. And a lot of times our boundaries, they're not as much about the other person as they are about us.
Right.
You know, and so it's not that we have to sit down with everyone and say, okay, this is what you can and cannot do when you're in my presence. That's not how boundaries work.
And you don't do that
you
either.
You do not. Please do not do that.
But you live it.
But some people think that's what it is.
That you're supposed to say.
Because, boundaries is make you have to behave a certain way. And our boundaries is only about our behavior, because that's the only behavior we have control over is our
exactly.
own.
Exactly. It's our behavior, mm-hmm. right? Not about other people. And so that's something huge, though. Talk about that a little bit more, because I think a lot of people think that that know the topic of boundaries, think it means that we are trying to control somebody else's behavior.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's where when people start to implement it, that's where they go wrong. That's where they run into the trouble is where they think this, my boundaries is you have to behave a certain way. You
right.
can't talk about this, or you can't do this to me, or you can't. And then they feel like, oh, I have this boundary. You broke it. Now you're the one in the wrong. And
but it's
they
not
feel
like
more
that.
Victimized.
I'm glad we clarified that tonight, because I don't know that we did on the first two.
I don't think
two,
we did either.
Because boundary setting is for us. We
yes.
do it.
Yes.
And not forcing it on someone else, right?
Not at all.
Right? Okay.
Not at all. In fact, I mean, you can be in relationship with people who don't get the whole boundaries idea. I mean, I'm going to say it's not going to be a great quality at the end of the day, but it's not about us changing anyone else. We can't change someone's behavior.
So why is it this topic so important? And why have we had this request to do more shows on this topic? Why is this so important in people's lives, especially in this day and age, I guess, with so much going on around us?
Well, because a lot of us are just not having good quality relationships.
Right.
We're not having, even in our own personal boundaries with ourselves, we're not having those boundaries for ourselves. We don't have a direction. We don't have an aim of what we're trying to do, where we're trying to go, what's good for us, what's not good for us. We don't even know that for ourselves. And so we're stumbling and, you know, going through this life really not sure what's happening. So then we get stuck. We feel like we're in Groundhog Day. You know, we wake up every day and it's the same over and over. And that's like a huge sign there's a lack of boundaries in your life.
So let me give you an example. Tell me if this is a boundary setting. So you realize that your quality of work at work is not as good as normal, and you start looking at your life and you think, wait a minute, I wait till 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm a night person. I've heard this said by so many people. I'm a night person. I can't go to bed. But for your job now, you have to get up at 6:30 and be there at 7:30 or whatever.
Correct.
Be there at 8, start your job. Okay, for that person who is still living the old quote-unquote life when you were younger, where you just have to stay up all to all hours of the night, a good boundary here would be making sure you're in bed and in quality sleep, you know, 7-8 hours a night.
Absolutely. That's the healthy personal boundary.
Right.
But so many of us aren't doing that for ourselves at all. And then, so then we want to stay up to the 2-3, and then we're getting 2-3 hours of sleep, and then we're not effective at our job. We're not,
right.
You know, we're feeling all kinds of ways because we're not resting. That's a really good example because that's a very common one.
That's
so
a common one,
if
yeah.
If you can't make your life accommodate certain things that, now, if you want to be a night owl, find a job that accommodates being a night owl, or
right.
You're going to have to change that boundary for yourself, or you're not going to be happy and healthy because your body is not going to get what it needs.
So what I've heard you say so far is boundary setting is all about ourselves,
mm-hmm.
not about others, right?
Absolutely it is.
And that example of a job would be a good one. Also, there's so many others, but let's talk about geographical distance when it comes to boundaries, because sometimes we have to physically remove ourselves from a situation. Let's take this mm-hmm. example. Let's say kids, this guy, he's 21 and he's always ran around with the same group of guys or whatever, and they all don't work, or they just goof around and they don't have to get up and punch a clock or go to work. And so sometimes you must geographically, you know, actually remove yourself from hanging out with that gang of people if they keep you from getting to work on time.
If right? Exactly. And that's, you know, that's, I mean, that is where it becomes on me. It's not that y'all can't hang out till 2:30 in the morning. I can't hang out till 2:30.
Right.
So, you know, at 9:30 or 10 o'clock or whatever that boundaries you set for yourself for getting rest,
right.
You take initiative. You own your boundaries.
Yes.
I am going to remove myself geographically
right.
from the situation so that I can protect myself.
Yeah, if you guys all hanging out here shooting pool, whatever, till late at night, I can't do that on work nights.
Correct.
Right? So that's a boundary that we need to learn to set those. But so many people, Dr. Angel, they want to please the crowd. You know, they want to please their friends. They want to hang out with their, they want to keep life like it was when they were in high school. Let's put it that way. Because I believe that's been a problem, is a problem for a lot of people. They want to stay back in that carefree, no responsibility zone.
That is a huge issue. I've noticed a lot recently in the last few years. And the thing is if you, becoming an adult is not an age.
Right.
It is not a number. Becoming an adult means I am self-sufficient, that I am paying for, financially responsible for myself, emotionally, psychologically, like I am responsible for my needs. You're not an adult when you're living with your parents and they're
right.
paying all the bills.
Exactly.
That's not, I don't care if you're 30. You're still mm-hmm. not considered an adult.
Yeah.
And so you want to move into adulthood, you have to take on those responsibilities, which means you're going to have to take ownership. Boundaries
right.
are all about ownership.
It's all about ownership. So,
all about ownership.
So the kid that says, okay, I want to live here with my parents. I want to not have to pay for any groceries. I want to have mom still do my laundry. I want to come in when I want to come in. I don't want to be told to get up and go to work or anything. That's a recipe for disaster.
Well, correct.
Failure to launch or whatever.
You know, and that it is. It is a recipe for, and we have to, you know, be careful as parents of adult children that we are enabling them to not grow and mature and become mm-hmm. an adult that they need to be.
Right.
You know, and I've worked with a lot of parents of if they're going to live at home, they need to have a job or they need to be in school. They need to be doing these things that are moving them forward.
Exactly.
They need to have time limits and time frames. But that, see, and that is about taking ownership.
For our choices.
For our choices.
So choice is so much, it's not just about, you know, okay, I need to get a job, but if I get a job, this is going to mean I have to change this and this and this in my life. Mm-hmm. I have to become responsible, right?
Mm-hmm. Or if I don't get a job, I don't get to do this, this, and this. I can't tell you the number
yeah, that's
of
true.
Teens or young adults who are out there driving really beautiful cars. They're
right.
not paying for their insurance or their gas.
Right.
But their parents are paying for all of this and taking care of it, and they want to keep getting the good life without doing what they need to do. You know, parents, we need to help our kids with those choices, you know, and not let them have this entitlement
right.
of I get all this and I don't have to make the choices I need to sustain
right.
it.
Right. And so, you know, no matter how old you are or how young you are, it's okay to start getting a job. My first job, I think I was 16 or 15, really, probably. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with kids starting to work at a young age, right?
No. I mean, and we're not talking about they're working and supporting their family. They're working a few hours on the weekend to have the money to go out with their friends to the movies or to buy the
right.
nice shoes that they want or their $200. Or,
sure.
You know, and letting them learn that work ethic when they're young
yes.
is really important.
Absolutely. Very. It's vital.
Yes, it is. You know, and I was just on social media this week, and somebody was posting how the school needs to teach kids how to write checks and do their taxes and blah,
seriously?
Blah, blah. And I'm like, what about the parent?
No, that's a parental responsibility.
How to become an adult. Absolutely.
How to set your own alarm clock and get yourself up and not make mom come and yell at you 5 times to get you out of bed.
Absolutely. And,
right.
you know, that's part of being a parent, and that's mm-hmm. part of our choices. But choices are a really important part of our boundaries, because our boundaries are all about our power. Our power becomes our choice.
Love it. Let's talk about limits.
Okay.
Okay. We have the power to set limits on our exposure to people who are a bad influence on us, right?
Absolutely.
I just had a conversation this afternoon with one of my relatives, younger relative, who said, oh, every time I get around that person, I make bad choices. She said that today.
Okay.
Okay. Well, it's a good idea that you're owning the fact that being around that person
made a connection, this person, bad choice.
Right.
But then there's a responsibility to limit.
So I said, why do you still do this? Why do you still choose to hang out with this person who always causes you to make bad choices? Because ultimately, it's this person making the choice. The other person is influencing it, obviously. Mm-hmm. Right? Talk
Absolutely.
About that.
I mean, our choices, we always have the power over our choices, and we also need to take that power to set the limits. So if we know this person, we are more tempted to do the wrong thing when we're with this person, then maybe we need to limit or not be with that person until
right.
we're strong enough
yes.
to not make that poor choice.
Yeah.
But we can't blame that person for our choice. We have to take their ownership of limiting what isn't good for us.
So boundary setting, one of the things. So we just talked about the geographical distance sometimes we have to do, choices we make, this setting limits on who we hang out with, who we don't. And the last one I want to bring to your attention is thoughts, because we have the power to stop thoughts. And how many times have I heard in counseling as a pastor and you as a licensed mental health counselor, PhD and all the stuff that you are, people say, well, you know, I just am around those people and they affect me. Just kind of like what we were just talking about mm-hmm. with choices and limits, you know. We so tend to put our bad behavior on the influence from other people.
We do, because we don't want to take responsibility for these things. So it's got
yes.
to come from somewhere else.
Right.
And, you know, our thoughts impact what we feel, what we do. It all starts in the mind. I've heard it said, the mind is our battlefield. That is a very true statement.
Oh, it's a truth, yeah.
And when we are with somebody or whatever that is feeding negative thoughts, then we need to limit ourselves and our exposure. But even in ourselves, when we're alone and we start finding ourselves going down that negative trail of thoughts, like, you know, I'm overwhelmed or I'm scared or I'll never be any good or I'm X, Y, fill in the blank. We need to change those thoughts.
We need to have your
power, I call it my power playlist in my phone, of those songs that tell me the truth of who I am or what I can do that kind of lift me back up. We all get stuck having those. But if you stay there, it's not going to be good. And that's where my boundary is. My boundary is I'm not going to stay in a pity party.
So when you feel yourself sinking into depression, you feel yourself sinking into, oh, I'm a mess and I'll never amount to anything and I'm just a failure and all that, you got to change that tape in your head.
Absolutely. And, you know, and you have to say,
set a boundary. I'm not going to do that.
I'm not going down there. You know, when I have a boundary, I will let myself feel bad for 30 minutes and then we're done with it.
Oh, you have a pity party for 30 minutes?
I do. I set an alarm. I let myself have the little moment.
Really?
And then I'm like, okay, now where's my power and what can I do?
That's right.
What can
it's
I
exactly
do?
Exactly right. And again, it's choice.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard it said that one of the best ways to change your mindset is a word that begins with G. Do you know what I'm going to say?
I think I do.
Gratitude.
There you go.
Isn't it?
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, when we are in a pity party, when we are in a it being influenced by negativity all around us, and we have slept in and didn't go to work, and we know we're going to be in trouble with the boss and whatever, and we're in that funky place, we got to start coming out of that through the attitude of gratitude. And if you're spiritual, if you're a Christian, that really helps you as you begin to be grateful to God. But if that is not who you are,
gratitude is
still a powerful way to set a boundary to come out from a bad mindset. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right, because we're changing the way we're seeing. Instead of thinking of what I don't have or what's, you know, the negative, I am finding the good things around
exactly.
me. Exactly. You know, and being grateful for the good. And we all have so much. The thing is we have, most of us have so much more good than when we have the negative. And we spend all of our time thinking about the negative and we're not thinking about the good. We're not focusing on what we have. So we don't feel gratitude. Yeah. We just sit in this slummy feeling of misery.
Well, and this is when we're talking about boundaries and we're saying this is stuff we set for us.
For ourselves.
Not that we set for others.
No.
That we say, okay, somebody is saying to you, you know, oh, come on, stay out late tonight with us and come drinking with us. And we know that we get in trouble, let's say, when we drink too much. That's not me because I don't. But there are people that have this issue,
sure.
right? And they know that if they go out with that group, and they don't discipline themselves to go home by 11 or whatever the case may be, they're going to end up at 3 a.m. and they're going to miss work the next day.
True.
Okay? Talk to me about what you say to yourself to get yourself to realize, I got to do this. I got to take responsibility and do this boundary.
Well, and first of all, you have to recognize that you have ownership over your life. You have ownership. And so you have ownership of your choices, your relationship. Like, I have ownership of what I let come into my life. That's a boundary. What I'm letting come in, who I'm letting come in. And that's words, that's actions, that's relationships. We have ownership of our life.
Okay, I totally agree with that. But why is it so many people don't understand that? Because they are so given to peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
What mama wants me to do, or what the spouse says that we got to do it this way, or the pull of the kids who are so demanding teenagers that they're obnoxious. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You know, there it is. There's a whole lot of people that believe that things that happen to them is everyone else's fault.
Right.
Instead of taking the ownership of mine. And so when I can take ownership, that means I can set a boundary and I can make a change that's healthy for me to make. I can look at what's not working in my life and say, okay, let me just make a list. What's not working?
Mm-hmm.
What's not? What is not working? Maybe my boundary is that I waste too much time on my phone or watching Netflix all day long or whatever. Maybe that I'm not being productive.
Right.
What's not working? And those are usually the places you want to start with some boundaries for yourself.
Right. Exactly.
And maybe you're going to start simple with, you know, I don't even get good quality rest. Well, maybe you need to start a boundary with just a bedtime and a wake time.
Yes.
Start small, but start that boundary for yourself.
Right.
And protect that self.
And if you know that you're given to peer pressure when it means going out with your friends or dating or whatever, and you drink too much, you got to learn to set a boundary there on how much.
You got to learn, yes.
And or
you
go
have to
home.
Learn to say the word no.
Let's talk about no again.
Yes, let's talk about no. I mean,
we can't begin to do that enough. Talk about no.
I was a child of the 80s where the big Just Say No project came out across schools.
Oh,
you remember those?
Yeah,
yes, the
sure.
Dare Just Say No. But the word no is so powerful.
Okay, why?
And why? Well, because it's powerful. Because when we say no, we're setting a limit and a boundary. We're
right.
protecting something
yes,
inside
we
of
are.
Ourselves. You know, it's easy to say yes. Saying yes is the agreeable
well,
word.
Yes means, she'll go, she'll do it, she'll whatever, or he'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
But no means that you're kind of taking
a stand
mm-hmm. which a lot of people do not like to do because it's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable. It may cause a conflict. People's feelings might get hurt. And so we just don't want to use that word.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll use it at the point of hurting ourselves. And so if we know we have this, you know, time limit to get some project done for work and our friend wants us to go hang out with them, we need to be able to say, no, I'm sorry, and go take care of our business because we need to protect the time for what we, you know, need to get done instead of yes to everyone. And so if you can't say no, you really can't say yes.
Okay. So I've been in situations before, I think we all have, where we have a friend or somebody you're dating or whatever says, let's go to this restaurant. And you know that that restaurant is $25 meals.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have the money.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've seen people do this where they are like ashamed or afraid or just feel bad about saying, oh, gosh, no. Can we go to someplace like a $10 meal? Because I can't do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's hard for people to do because it makes them feel like they are not as financially stable as the other person or whatever, right? But if you're not, you're not.
Right, and that your truth is your truth. And, you know, we did that
That's
whole
right.
series on knowing
truth.
Our truth.
Yes.
Boundaries help us walk in our truth.
Ooh, I like that.
But remember,
say that again before we go to break. Say
well,
that
boundaries
again.
Boundaries help us walk in our truth.
Define that. I mean, explain that a little bit more.
So they help us to protect what we know, protect our time, our finances, our energy, our resources, the truth that we know about ourselves. Our boundary is protecting that truth for
that
us.
That is just such
We're
an excellent point.
Honest lives.
That helps me understand the whole concept of boundaries better myself.
Okay.
Okay, this is what I have to do because this is the reality. My checkbook does not allow me to go out to dinner with you and spend $50 tonight. I can't do it. So that's your truth.
That is our truth.
And don't be ashamed of that. It is what it is.
Right.
It is what it is. I love that sentence anyway.
I do too. And but you can make choices to try and change some of the truths that we don't like, or that we don't want to be our truth right now, like our financial situation. But in the moment, this is it. And so being able to say, yeah, I can't do that with
Maybe
you right
another
now.
Time. Yeah.
But if you guys are going to go to the beach for sunset, I'll join you or whatever, you know. But saying no protects our truth. It empowers us, and it sets us apart.
I love that. We're coming right back to that. Don't go away, audience. If you want to call in, 727-441-3000. Tommy will patch you right in here to the studio. Let's go to break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
I can see clearly now the rain is gone. See all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright sunshiny day. It's gonna be a bright sunshiny day. I think I can make it now, the pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared.
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network, AM 1340, WTAN.
Love that old song. Boy, who's singing that one?
Oh, man, I'm going to have one of those moments that
and
I
you
can't
don't remember.
Remember.
That's who is it, Tommy?
Johnny Nash.
Gosh, okay. That's a great song. Really good. Welcome back to the second half of Living the Good Yard. That's Sunday, Living the Good Yard. That's really confused. That would be Go Yard. Thank you for joining us back here on Go Yard. That was my commercial for real estate. I've been doing real estate, it says 23 years when my son cut that commercial. That was 5 years ago when we began.
It's time to update.
Yeah, because it's 28 years. So, you know, time flies when you're having this much fun. My brother-in-law and sister who listen, hi, Walt and Jan, who listen almost every single week, which are, they're just great supporters of this show, and they always write me a little critique and everything. It's cool. But my brother-in-law always tells me I have a whole lot of hats on, which is true.
And that's very true.
It's very true. One being the real estate. So if you need a realtor, give me a call at that number, 727-417-0707. But also the ministry, the pastoral ministry, these shows. We have Sunday show. We have this show. We've got our hands in a lot of things, and it's exciting what God is doing, and we love doing the show, don't we?
I love the show. Love it.
Yeah. Going in, we are in our fifth year. We'll celebrate the anniversary of that in September. Let's go back to our discussion on boundaries and the word no, because the word no is so hard for so many people to say, Dr. Angel.
It really is. And if they are comfortable enough to say no, it's usually followed up with a whole lot of excuses or reasons to validate that no. And no, by itself, is a complete sentence.
It is.
We do not owe an explanation to the word no.
No, we don't.
And so,
but how hard is that for human nature? Mm-hmm. Come on, be honest. It is for me. Mm-hmm. I've been criticized through the years as a pastor of always trying to always accommodate this, that, and the other, you know, fit it in somewhere. And that's true. And sometimes you just got to say, no, I can't. I just can't. My day. I had a guy call me this morning, real estate type situation. And I said, you know what? I don't have 1 minute this week to evaluate that you're asking me to evaluate. And I said, I'll have to get back to you tomorrow. He said, you know what? Take your time. How about the first of the week? Yes.
Thank you.
Know? But if I would have said, okay, and then I would have stressed out all day because I was booked up solid, still am, all day. So, and tomorrow. So it would have been impossible, really. But they need to accommodate people.
True. And so think of your life on how much stress you take on from committing to things that you really don't have the time to commit to.
Right.
Yeah. Or saying yes to things you really don't even have the resources or energy or whatever it is to do, and that you're pulling this all on yourself.
Right.
You know, and then one thing that can be really what happens where we feel pressure for that to give somebody something when we don't have the time is when they're in a crunch, when they're in an emergency, when they are under this huge deadline.
Oh, boy, isn't that true?
And I need help now, and hurry, hurry.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I've had to learn the quote, you know, someone else's emergency is not my crisis.
Ooh. Oh,
if
we should write that down. That's so good. Someone else's emergency is not my crisis?
It is not my crisis. And if I can't, I can't. If it's an emergency or not, it doesn't change the fact that sometimes you just cannot.
Okay, why is that so hard for people to adapt that for themselves? Because I will just say that's been hard for me.
Well, you know, you're an, you know, pastor, I'm a therapist, and we're in the helping profession, and so we're like trained and ingrained to help.
And always be available.
And so it's really, we feel guilty, we feel like we're letting people down, but at the end of the day, you know, and I've really learned this lesson the hard way, coming through all the medical stuff I've had to come through, at the end of the day, I have to protect me and my body and my health, because we cannot give what we do not have.
I love that. And that's what this discussion of boundaries is all about. This is all about self-help.
Yes.
It's not about creating boundaries to keep other people out of your life. No.
No.
It's about putting yourself in bed at the right time. It's about eating properly. It's about having a job that you love, you know, and not just settling for something. I mean, actually bettering yourself, right?
It's about learning to prioritize our tasks so we get done what we need to get done,
right?
And just not let them go. You know, so boundaries are about our quality of life. It is about me.
It's about learning to rest also, right?
Oh, yes. And learning when your body gives you those signals that maybe I need to take a time out. I mean, I had a busy, cramped week of all kinds of stuff planned, and my body let me know it wasn't going to let it happen. And I had to take a long chunk of time and just let it rest. And I did. And then I got like twice much done today.
Right.
Because I did take that time and let my body
absolutely rest. Absolutely. Yes. So every person should have the power or develop the power to say no.
To say
Mm-hmm. Or to say, I disagree. Now, that's a hard one. That's a big boundary that a lot of people don't want to. And politics, we don't discuss here on the air. We don't discuss it at church either. But if somebody says something to you politically that it kind of incites you, you can calmly and quietly say, well, I don't see it that way, but I don't really want to discuss it, right?
Absolutely.
Isn't there and there you put a boundary.
Mm-hmm.
You've not given the impression that, oh, yeah, I agree with that, unless you do.
Correct. But we should have the right to say I disagree or to not keep engaging in a conversation, you know, to take ourselves out of that conversation because it's not something we want to be a part
of.
So that's our boundary. You know, and there's certain conversations that happen and some people have some really strong thoughts and opinions. And, you know, it bothers me when I hear some conversations sometimes because I'm very passionate about something, parts of it. And I've just learned I'm not engaging in that.
Right.
Because I can't stir all that in that moment.
Because what it does is it leaves you agitated.
Yes.
It leaves you like, or if you engage in contentious, whether it's politics or any other subject.
Whatever you're passionate about, that there can be really strong feelings. And
exactly.
Talk about mental health. There's a lot of strong feelings in our field.
Right.
And, you know, I've had to learn to just, you know, politely decline engaging in certain conversations.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And we have that right. We have the right to say, I will not, or I choose not to.
Yeah.
Maybe we do have the time, but maybe we really just don't want to do that thing. Maybe it's something we just don't like doing or whatever. We have the right to say when something hurts and when something's wrong.
Oh, gosh, that's a hard one to say that something hurts because sometimes we react when somebody says something that hurts us and we may get kind of sober. We may have a funny look or tears may come to our eyes or we may kind of walk away or whatever, but to actually say the words, that hurts or that stings, let's not discuss that. That hurts or I don't want to talk about that memory, you know, or to talk about that really brings up some bad memories for me.
Absolutely.
And that's okay
to
say,
right?
We have
the right to say that.
Yes.
You know, and sometimes in our life we go through times where things hurt more in the moment than, you know, in a few weeks, it may not be as a wound and it may not hurt. And it's okay to say that I'm hurting right now. I don't want to, that's not a joke. Maybe it's a joke that pushed something that you're hurting with. And no, they didn't mean harm, but it's okay to let somebody know that's your truth.
Right. And let's say you're in a social setting or even at work or something and somebody says, tell me why you got divorced or tell me about this or tell me. And then whatever it is about that they're asking you about is hurtful or it's difficult for you to talk about. I've seen people who just clam up and just disengage and then stay away from that person from that point on instead of just saying, you know what, I'm too sensitive in that area right now. I can't really go there. Can you? Hopefully you can respect that. Is that a good response?
That's a great response. And I wish more people used that, because what happens is they don't say those words.
Right.
And they sit there and they let themselves get hurt.
Yeah.
And then they're up and they can't sleep or whatever. For days and days, they're impacted over this pain that
they clam up.
Probably had no idea they were inflicting on you. And so we have to protect. That's called boundaries. That's protecting ourselves. That includes our emotion and our psychological well-being. And then sometimes just because someone asks a question doesn't mean they're entitled to the answer. You know, I know some people, when somebody asks about why did you get a divorce, they feel like they have to tell them the details.
Yes, yes.
You know, and I use the saying, it actually came from the movie Pretty Woman, so don't make fun of me, but it's really been a working principle in my life. You say who, you say when, you say how much. And that goes to what I share. I get to say who I share my information and my truth with. I get to say how much of that truth I want them to know. And I get to say when I'm sharing my truth.
Okay, I agree with all that, but I will tell you that human nature, it has been my experience since I'm a tad bit older than you, Dr. Angel, that people tend to just go ahead and feel obligated to blurt out something, and then they regret having said something, or it's misconstrued, or they go, well, I got divorced because, and then they start to say it, and then it's either painful, and they start to cry, or they say too much, and then that is told around the office, or you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, I do.
No is such a better answer than blurting out to make somebody else feel better because they ask you a stupid question.
Right, and we could be putting ourselves
in a private question.
And a lot of times, well, that's what we're doing. We're putting ourselves in real bad situations because we are sharing too much with people who haven't earned that level of trust with us, and our information's all over the place, and it's coming back all around the channels, and we need to guard our truth.
Yeah,
and
we do.
Know who we're saying and what we're saying and when we're saying it.
You gotta learn to trust the person, whoever that person is that has maybe asked you a question, whatever. But often our relationships are too superficial for us to really know when we can open up and say our truth. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
One of the things in your field of therapy and mine as pastoral counseling is that we basically take an oath to keep things confidential, right?
Yes. Even in that oath, people are still get scared about their business being shared.
They do.
Yes.
They absolutely do. So help the person out there in radio land who's saying, okay, I never realized that I should take this subject this seriously. Can you do that?
Sure. You know, the subject of, first of all, the whole part of saying no and is about guarding our truth. It is not about being mean. It is not about not being willing to help someone else. It's not willing to try and cause pain. Like, well, that's our fear. It's about protecting ourselves. Maybe it's our truth. Maybe it's our psychological well-being. Maybe it's our time. Maybe it's our kids' time. I don't know. Maybe it's our resources.
Yeah.
But it's about protecting something.
Yeah, right. And so it's okay to set a boundary and go, you know what? I just don't really want to talk about that right now. Let's talk about something else.
Yes.
I just can't go there right now. I mean, because the thing I guess I'm getting at, Dr. Angel, is so often people interpret that is if I don't give them an explanation or if I don't answer their question, they're going to think I'm weak or that I'm aloof or that I feel like they don't deserve my confidence or do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, because we're judging.
We're projecting and judging, right?
Yes, we're projecting this judgment of what's going to happen because we're really sensitive to this whole judgment thing that we think people are doing all the time to us.
But and often they are.
You know, and sometimes they are and sometimes they're not. At the end of the day, you know, everyone's never going to like, you know, you're not going to have everyone's approval ever.
No.
So we have to get comfortable knowing your truth.
Right.
And walking in that. And if you're not ready for something, being honest about it. I mean, I've said this many times. I'd rather you give me an honest no than a fake yes. I don't want you to do something for me when you don't have the time, energy, or resources.
Okay, good point. And here's another one. As a pastor and a realtor, too, I've so many times in my life, people have said, okay, Yes, I will do that. I'll do that, Pastor, or volunteer. Okay, I'll bring such and such to the meal. Or I will do this, whatever it is. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then they don't follow through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're agreeable in the moment because they didn't want the conflict
they
or whatever.
They didn't want to say. And then you say, hey, I thought you were meeting me for to do whatever. Oh, I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to wonder sometimes if they really forgot or they just couldn't say no at the moment.
Yes. Or they had some kind of crises that happened that they couldn't do it. But they have the same kind of crises all the time that mm-hmm. keeps them from doing the thing. Yes. And I'm telling you what, that hurts relationships. You know, when that behavior happens, you learn you can't trust them. You can't count on them. They're not going to follow through. And at the end of the day, I mean, it literally pushes relationships out further and further because it is causing a barrier. So if you can't do something, if you know you can't, say no.
Say no. Okay, so one thing I've said to a family member that's had troubles with this stuff I'm talking about is the consistent thing about you, comma, and then the person's name, is that you are inconsistent.
There's so many people out there
that's
where they
consistently
live.
Consistently inconsistent.
They do nothing consistently. Absolutely. And these are people who really lack boundaries. That's why they're so inconsistent.
Okay, explain that correlation, will
okay,
you?
Okay, that's fine. Boundaries help us to protect our life and live our best life, which means consistency is what our bodies need with rest and eating and, you know, consistently time management and financial management. All of that's in boundaries. Mm-hmm. And so when we are just inconsistent all the time, we do not have boundaries. Period. We are not living in our boundaries.
You better go over that again, because I think that is huge for our audience, because those that struggle with what does this subject, why is this so important? Here it is right there.
Absolutely. And so if you are not living, doing anything consistent, you need to start with boundaries 101. You need to start making boundaries for your life, because that's where consistency happens. That's where your chaos, your life is so chaotic. You feel very overwhelmed. You can't breathe. You probably are struggling with a ton of anxiety and depression, and you're just feeling frazzled and pulled in every direction. That's what the inconsistent person usually feels on the inside.
Wow.
The cure to help those feelings is getting these boundaries in place.
And if that means set a schedule for yourself on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Prioritizing where your time is going, learning to say the word no, making sure, I mean, basic stuff. I mean, I have a person in my life that, I mean, if they eat one time a day, they're doing good. You need to eat. We need food. It's fuel. You can't,
right.
We can't work that way. You need to schedule in those times and plan for what those things are going to be so that you are taking
well,
care of yourself.
Go back to education, going to college. Mm-hmm. College is so much less structured than high school, right?
True.
And high school, you go to this class, and then you go to the next, bell rings, you go to the next class, and whatever. You do your homework, you have your... College kids are sometimes absolutely lost their freshman year when they are really kind of free to go get up and go to class or not.
True. Lack of structure.
Write the term paper or not.
Right.
Get the F or get the A, up to them,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. In fact, when you go looking at colleges, like the first year dropout rate is a statistical thing that they
ridiculous.
Calculate because
yeah,
some
they know.
Schools have like 85% first year students do not make it through. That's because they did not have their own boundaries. They were relying on the school structure boundaries, and now that's how transitional adults work. We have to develop boundaries, because we think when we're kids that I'm going to be 18 and I'm an adult and I don't have
I can do
any
whatever,
rules.
No rules. So parents, if you're listening to this right now and you've got teenage kids, you have a responsibility to help start this boundary setting thing for them so that when they go to college, they're not swamped, they're not lost, they're not homesick, they begin to thrive in a new set of
Because
of rules,
they learn
really.
That these boundaries are here to help me, not hurt me. And instead of seeing as, you know, these rules and this bad thing, they learn it to be a helpful thing.
Right.
You know, I mean, I have a high schooler. He still has a bedtime.
Yeah.
He has a time that he can't work past a certain time at night. He has to be home. And if his job schedules him, he can tell them or I'm going to tell them, but they're going to know that he can't work past that time because school's first.
Yes.
You know, and he's at, we've gone through the fight. Trust me, it was this whole, you know, he's in the upper teens, but it's, and he goes to me the other day, he's like, Mom, I really appreciate that because I know I'm at least going to get a good night's sleep every night. That's why
we do that. Wow.
You are getting a good night's sleep.
Right.
Because you've got chemistry honors at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly.
So you need that good night's sleep.
Right. Exactly.
It wasn't to belittle him or tell him he's still a little child. It was to protect his body.
Okay. So years ago, this whole thing of parenting began to change in America. I don't know about other countries. But it became much more permissive.
Yes.
That parents were hurting their kids if they spanked them, for instance, or set them in a corner, or took some privilege away, or took their phone away, you know. By the way, it just drives me crazy to see very young kids with phones. But anyway, sometimes it's necessary. But still, with all of that, we have a society that has become so much less structured when it comes to helping our children develop, don't you think?
Absolutely. And the parenting styles of the last generation, of this generation, the predominant ones are the antithesis of what those kids need to grow and learn and nurture to become independent, self-sufficient adults. And that's why we see so much more failure to launch. We see kids, it is not uncommon to still have your upper 20-year-old child living in your home and not having a job.
Right.
And still not having a job. You know, we have, you know, our whole job of a parent is helping them learn to become an adult. Like, from the day one, that's our whole job of parent. And it starts with structure.
That's exactly right. It does.
That's our job.
And it's good for your little kids to learn to earn money at a young age and have their own money.
Absolutely. And learn to save it up for things that they want that are bigger things.
I have 12 grandkids, but the ones that are this age are 8 and 11, Mason and Grant right now. And that the way they are trained is that they have their own money, they save their money, they buy the things they want, they plan ahead, and all of that. They're learning that right now at this age, and they've been raised that way. And it's really cool to see that. And they value every dollar, and they're excited. Mm-hmm. I bought that with my own money, you know. It's cool.
But that is instilling an adult principle, because as adults, we have to learn to manage our money.
Yes.
And when we don't, we get into trouble. And so this generation is believing that we can't tell our kids no because we'll hurt their, you know, feelings. Mm-hmm. And we have to give them everything they want. And we can't have them work. That's, you know, they're kids. You know, even chores. I mean, they're not even doing chores anymore.
No,
and
that's not good.
Teaches them responsibility, that I'm a part of it, you know, a family, and I'm not entitled. The world is not revolving around me.
That's right.
And so boundaries, if we do not have them as a parent, we can't give them to our kids.
So that's why it's so important. I got to tell a little story about my grandson, Grant. He's 11, and he does 4-H. And if you're not familiar with 4-H, it's really great for kids. Especially this is Indiana, so last year he showed these different chickens, and you know, he got them all ready for a 4-H thing, and then he had rabbits, and so as the winter went on, there was just one big rabbit that he kept. Somebody accidentally let the little gate, didn't tie it tight enough, and last week he went out to feed his rabbit, and she was gone. So he began, because the property has a lot of woods right there, he began to call her, and she did not come. She's a rabbit. And he began to stand near that woods and thought he saw her. So one day, after school, he says, I'm going to find her. I'm going to find her. And long story short, he was out there for quite a while, I think close to an hour. And he found her and finally picked her up, brought her back, got her in the cage. You talk about diligence for an 11-year-old to be that, this is my rabbit, and I'm going to find her. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, it was like, I was so proud of him because he didn't just say, oh, well, I can get another rabbit.
Or blame whoever didn't tie the cage.
Right, whoever it was. Could have been himself, actually, but who knows,
right?
So instead, he was proactive, and he said, I'm going to find my rabbit. He prayed about it. He actually went out, and he did some legwork, and he found his rabbit.
And he took responsibility and accountability for it.
So a little story just from our family, but still.
But that's a huge principle.
Right.
And those are the things that we need in our life as adults, and we need to be instilling into our children.
Oh, we have to.
And that responsibility and accountability. We are responsible for the quality of life we live. We're responsible to set. We own our boundaries. They're there to protect us.
Right.
So where does your life feel like it's out of control?
Right.
Is it your finances, then you need financial boundaries. Is it your personal life, then maybe you need relational boundaries. But usually where you're feeling like things aren't in control, or things are just overwhelming, or you're very anxious, that's usually a good flag that there's some boundary work that needs to happen.
That's good. And I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a minute to say a final thought. But I want to announce to our audience something very exciting about Dr. Angel, because you have been working all your life towards this goal, and you are attaining it, and you are officially opening your own practice as of May 1st, right?
Yes.
And her phone number is 727-501-6557. She will continue to teach a lot of seminars and all kinds of other things, and support people that are going through their credentialing. And you're a PhD, licensed mental health counselor. Write this number down. She's great at counseling parents, kids, all kinds of situations. 727-501-6557. And you can call her and set an appointment. And actually, you're taking some patients right now, aren't you?
Yes, I am. 727. I have an interim office. Yep.
You do. 727-501-6557. But your permanent office will be in effect as of May 1st.
I know. It's
pretty
so exciting.
Yes. So wrap it up, doctor.
Well, you know, the wrap up here is, I think we really need to look at that word no. Can I say that word no? Am I setting limits that are protecting me? Do I feel guilty or wrong when I say the word no? Let's look at what's under that so that you can work on getting through that, because it's healthy to say the word no. It's healthy to express what you need, what you don't need. Use your words, and remember, you say who, you say when, you say how much. You own it.
Yeah, you own it. Use your words. Learn to express yourself. And realize the boundaries are all about you. It's not about closing somebody else out of your life. However, if that person is really a hindrance in your life, then you simply
may have to reorganize where that person is.
You may have to, right. Yes, right. And maybe spend less time, or not let that person have such a strong influence over you, etc., right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we've done three shows already in this series.
Yes, we have.
So we have another one coming up next week, because we're not done with this topic. I want you to sum up the main things that we accomplished tonight. Can you do it?
Well, we accomplished that we have geographical boundaries. We have boundaries of our choices.
Right.
We have, oh boy, my memory's going.
Limits.
Limits. We need to set those limits for ourselves. Mm-hmm. We are here to protect ourselves.
That's exactly right.
It's self-love.
Yeah, self-care, take care of yourself. It's not about closing other people out. It's what you accept that you are willing to.
Exactly.
To have in your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, kind of confusing, but for some people maybe, but hopefully not.
No.
We have two shows a week. We have this one, and we also have a Sunday show. We rarely talk about it, but we've got just a second, so I'm going to invite you to listen in on Sunday afternoons at 3 p.m. right here on TanTalkNetwork.com. The show is Living the Good Life. I'm the host, Pastor Marcia, along with, you're on that, along with about nine other people who take turns. So it's a great show every Sunday afternoon, all about God, and it will encourage you. Check it out, 3 p.m. on TanTalkNetwork.com. Go to podcast here, and go to Go Yard and catch up on shows you might have missed. Go to our website, goyard2014.org. O-R-G. See you next week. And it's always good to be here. And who are you anyway?
I'm Dr. Angel.
Hi, and I'm Mama Mac. And see you next week.
Good
go
night.
Yard. Bye.
WTAN, Clearwater,
FM 106.1,
WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay, WZHR, Zephyr Hills,
FM 104.3.
Listen.